All right. Thank you, Brother Bruce, for allowing me to come, and good to have some of my family here tonight. And, you know, someone once said, how many need to be in attendance for you to do a presentation? I said, me and the Lord. But we're so glad that all of you have come this evening. This morning I spoke on 1 Samuel chapter 17, and the focus of that message was David's question in verse 29, what have I done? Is there not a cause? I hope that this evening you will see why FOI is doing what they're doing and how important it is that FOI is doing what they're doing. There are a lot of ministries to the Jewish people, but not all the ministries to the Jewish people include the gospel of Jesus Christ. And FOI has been a gospel-centric focused mission for a very long time. Let me ask you a question to begin with. When did the Holocaust of the Jewish people begin? Now, we think back to World War II, probably, right? When Hitler was getting rid of what we know of over 6 million Jews. But do you know when it actually began? It began in the late 30s on the night of broken glass. It began when Hitler said to his army to go into the German communities and begin to destroy the synagogues, the businesses, and the homes of the Jewish people. And to be honest, that's when Friends of Israel started. I have been part of the Friends of Israel now for not quite 2 years. I started in November of 2024. My position is ministry advancement and donor relations, which is twofold. The first one is ministry advancement, going into churches, preaching in the services like I did this morning, and doing this presentation. I am the only one of the Friends of Israel that does a full presentation of the ministry. And so when churches are trying to determine whether they want to support Friends of Israel, I'm usually the one to go in and speak and then share this presentation that I'm sharing with you tonight. Because my position as I'm speaking in churches and reminding the church that God is not finished with Israel yet, and the church has a responsibility in winning the Jewish people as much as any other people, I am reminding, as I will you tonight, later on in this session, that we are actually a mission agency. We are looking for people to become part of FOI, not just in Israel, not just in our international mobilization centers around the world, but more specifically for Canada. We have 1.5 million Jews still living in Canada. Now that's getting lower and lower every day because of the anti-Semitism that's going on in our world, and our government isn't doing anything about it. More and more are looking at leaving and going home to Jerusalem. Since October 7th, 2023, when what we call the latest Holocaust of when the Gazan citizens and Hamas crossed the border into Israel on October, they went in and killed over 1,000 people, including children. And they also took with them 285 hostages. And some of those hostages were already dead. They took dead bodies back to Israel. You see, all they wanted to do, they didn't leave some of those dead bodies in the streets in Israel. And the towns that they went into and the kibbutzes that they went into, they killed many, but they took some even dead bodies back to Gaza. Why? Because they want to punish the family. Because to a Jewish person, when a person dies, they need to be buried in Israel. And so when they took the body out of Israel, that was a way to hurt the family even further, because there was no way, if they didn't give that body back, then the body would never have been buried in Israel. And to the Jewish people, that is important. So my ministry is going into churches, speaking, sharing what Friends of Israel is all about, recruiting young people. And God's been helping. We've found two brand new missionaries just in the last week, last few months. Daryl, who is here tonight, is our first Ontario missionary in all of the history of FOY Canada. We've never had a missionary in Canada, in Ontario. We've had them in other parts of the country, but never in Ontario. And Ontario has the largest population of Jewish people, and we've never had someone to work. So we thank the Lord for Daryl coming on board as a missionary. We have two others that are looking to become missionaries in Ontario, one in Windsor. And we have Tatiana, who is a young lady out of London, Ontario, here. She does work in the universities as she attends, which university here?
Western
University. And so she does work with Western University. But as I travel and preach, God has been touching the hearts of people. And when I was preaching out in PI back in April, there were three young men that came up to me after the meetings that I had and said, "We are interested in joining FOY, and we want to serve and witness to the Jewish people." And so I asked them a little bit more about their background and who they were. Two of them are Jewish people who have come to know the Lord as their Savior, and they want to get involved with the ministry to their own heritage, their own people. And so we thank the Lord for that. Now, I won't share too much more about my ministry tonight, because I'm here to share about the ministry of Friends of Israel. And the Friends of Israel has the gospel at the heart of everything we do. And we want to make sure that when people hear the words, the Friend of Israel, they understand that we are the Friends of Israel gospel ministry. It's right in our logo. It's right in our emblems. There is another Friend of Israel ministry. They do support the Jewish people, but it's only about humanitarian needs. Nothing concerning the gospel. And so we want to make sure that there's a distinction between the other Friend of Israel and us, and that we are the Friends of Israel gospel ministry. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 to 10 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel will stand, and I will do my pleasure." Now, remember, this is speaking about God saying these words. "I will do my pleasure." These verses remind me that God is the author of prophecy. He is the author of all things. And when we realize that, we realize that he is supremely in control. We know that he has given free will to us as human beings, creations of his, to choose to whether to accept and believe and receive even salvation through Christ. But God desires that his will and his will be performed even if we do not choose to follow in his will. He has a plan, and he's working out that plan. From Genesis to Revelation is the plan of God. Matter of fact, if you didn't know it before, Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. This is what we need to go to. It is God's plan, and understanding that plan systematically, understanding that plan in a dispensational, theological point of view, we can see that God has dealt with the world in different times, in different seasons, in different ways. And it wasn't too long ago when the Jewish people thought, after being dispersed from Israel thousands and thousands of years ago, they probably never thought that they would be a nation again, even though God said, "Yes, you will be." And in 1948, the state of Israel was born. This is a picture of the Palestinian post. Do you see that? I could just speak for an hour about Palestine issue and all those things that are being cried out against the people of Israel and Gaza and Palestine and the pro-Palestinian movement. They were known as the Palestinians. The English people gave them that terminology. The Jewish people were called Palestinians. The people in Gaza are not Palestinians. Palestinians were really the Jews. And in the Palestinian Post, we have here back in 1948, the grand news that the state of Israel was finally started and born again. But let me give you a little bit more detail in the video that I shared this morning. I'll share it with you here again this evening on why and how we were started.
The 1930s were a fragile time. Propaganda throughout Europe was already paving the way and dehumanizing the Jewish people. And in November 1938, Kristallnacht, Night of the Broken Glass, happened in Germany. Synagogues, homes, schools, and businesses of Jewish people were destroyed. And it was at this point things went from bad to worse. The Jewish people were ripped from their homes, put into ghettos, and sent to concentration camps where later, more than 6 million would be systematically murdered. Here in the United States, a group of Christians in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, had been praying for the Jewish people in Europe and were convinced they had to do more. In James chapter 1, it says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." And that is what this group did. Something was stirred inside of them, and the Friends of Israel Refugee Relief Committee was born. And they started to put their time and money into saving Jewish lives. But why would they do this? Because they knew from Scripture that the Jewish people are God's chosen and the apple of His eye. After all these years, the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry's mission has not changed, and the gospel is at the core of everything we do. Around the globe, our teams are serving Jewish people in need, providing food, medicine, clothing, personal care, and other basic necessities. Our free clinic in the heavily Jewish-populated area of Buenos Aires, Argentina, provides around-the-clock medical care for those in need. Bible camps in Poland and Israel for both children and adults give a safe place for learning God's Word. We support pastors and believers in Israel both spiritually and financially. Teams travel year-round to areas of Eastern Europe, providing daily necessities to Jewish people in oppressed areas. In Australia and New Zealand, we're opening our homes to traveling Israeli soldiers. Our workers around the world are serving the Jewish people in practical ways by volunteering in area Holocaust museums, Jewish community centers, and caring for Holocaust survivors and their families. Our Bible teachers share in churches and conferences that there is and always has been a clear plan, a past, present, and future for Israel and the Jewish people. Resources like Israel My Glory magazine, videos, books, and the Friends of Israel Today radio program are shared around the world, providing teaching on sound doctrine and a biblical perspective on current events surrounding Israel. The Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry loves bridging the Jewish community and Christians together. With anti-Semitism on the rise, we need advocates in the Christian community to stand with the Jewish people. Our tours to the Holy Land allow Christians to walk where Jesus walked and experience the miracle of modern-day Israel. Our volunteer trips, Origins, and Ased provide Christians a chance to serve alongside Israelis. These trips open Christians' eyes to the realities of daily life in Israel, but more importantly, it gives them a heart for the Israeli people. Our mission has stayed focused all of these years to teach biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah while loving and standing with the Jewish people. We believe God's promises to Israel are never ending, and the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry's message has not changed because the Word of God never changes. God has called us to reach the nations, and He has called us to love His chosen people, Israel. And just as our founders did in 1938, we stand with the Jewish people in their time of need because we love what God loves.
So that is our mission. Focused on that little circle in the middle of that picture. One of the smallest countries of the world that is the home of the people of God, the Jewish people. Our mission is to support them and to support the Jewish people throughout the world where we can in Jewish communities. Sometimes I get asked the question, well, why doesn't the government take care of their own people? And the reason is the Jews are always having to defend themselves against the countries all around them that are against them. There is not one organization in Israel that is funded by the government because the government has to put all their funds into armaments. Now, currently, they're in, I think, day 61 of the war with Iran. A number of months before that, there was the 12-day war, if you remember hearing about that. During the 12-day war, it cost Israel $1 billion a day. That war was 12 days. $1 billion a day, and that is just the cost of their own Iron Dome defense system in taking out all the thousands of rockets that are shot at them. Now, approximately, they say between 5 and 10% of the rockets do penetrate through the Iron Dome, and the Iron Dome do not take them out. But that is why there's so few casualties in Israel. Not just because the Iron Dome takes out the majority of the missiles that are fired at them, but because of their system of alert, they are able to know approximately the direction and where that missile is heading. Everyone in Israel, including those that are visiting, are required, if you have a cell phone, to download a specific app for Israel called the Command App. I have that on my phone, but it won't work any longer because I'm not in Israel. But when that you're in Israel and you have that Command App on your phone, and you put the area where you are traveling or where you are living, you will get the alerts for your specific area. Now, you could click on alert all, but then you would get the alarm to run to the bomb shelter when it wasn't necessary. Right? Because of all the different locations throughout Israel. So it's important that the Jewish people obey the laws. And the law is, in when the alarm goes off, you have a minute and 30 seconds, 90 seconds, to head to shelter. Now, what if you're traveling in the car on the highway? As we were during the war, we were on the bus heading to Cairo, trying to get out of Egypt because the last trip I was on, the war had already started before we could get out of Egypt. And as we were heading towards Cairo, right near the Dead Sea, our alarms went off. And the two Greyhounds that we were on had to pull beside the road, and we had to quickly get off the bus and get down into the ditch. And like they tell you, get as low as you can and put your hands over your head until you get the alert to get up. Now, not everybody got to the ground as they should, and some of them were looking up in the air, and you could see the Iron Dome missiles going up in the air to take out the missiles that were coming from Iran. Life isn't easy for the Jewish people. Think about life as a child growing up and hearing those alarms go off. I mean, it's one thing for us to handle it as an adult. I was telling my brother-in-law, Steve, that when the alarm goes off, when I was in Israel, the only people that were panicking were foreigners. The Jewish people don't even panic anymore because it goes off so often. It's become a way of life. They just get used to it, and they hurry to the bomb shelter, and then they watch their watch, and then they go out and they go about business. But it was the foreigners that were all panicking when the alarms went off. And life for a Jew is not easy, whether you're in Israel or anywhere else anymore in the world. Here in Canada, you've seen on our own news, which isn't good news, I mean, I don't think we have a good news broadcasting station in all of Canada, but those that do share the news about the synagogues that have been shot at, the Jewish restaurant in Montreal that was burnt to the ground just a few weeks ago by arson, the attacks on the Jewish people are growing greater and greater. And that is why the Jewish people are going home. Since October 2023, October 7th, when that Holocaust happened, Aliyah, or going up to Jerusalem, or going back home to Jerusalem, has gone up by 450% to the previous 10 years prior. The Jews around the world are going home because it's safer for them in Israel than anywhere else in the world. Because they are very safe. When I went to Israel, even my own one of my sons said, "Dad, why are you going to Israel? It's not really safe there." Well, it's probably safer there than here. In all reality, it is safe for them to go. But our focus is on Israel and the Jewish people. Why? Because the Bible says in Genesis 12:3, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And we believe that. We believe God's promises in his word, that if we understand God's plan of the Jews and the Gentiles and see his plan throughout the scripture, that he is not done with Israel yet. He still has a plan to redeem them back to himself. We as a people need to be obedient to the scriptures and understand we are commanded to bless them, to bless all generations. Now, there are some churches today that will argue the fact, well, this text in Genesis chapter 12 is only about Abraham. But if I had time to preach, which I don't have tonight, I would take you through the rest of the scriptures that show that no, it's talking about the seeds of Abraham. It's talking about the generations of Abraham to the very Jew that liveth today in Israel. A lot of people today often ask me the question, and I don't know if this is one of the questions that we're going to deal with later, but often ask me the question, well, why would you support Israel today when the Jews in Israel aren't even the Jews of the Old Testament? How silly can they be to even think that? Do you not realize that God knows exactly who they are? He knows who's a Jew and who's not. There are many Gentiles that have turned to Judaism through the years, and they would be practicing Jews, but they're not a Jew. They are a Gentile. But our vision for FOI is this: to see everyone believe in God's Son and understand God's plan for the ages, for both Jews and the Gentiles. And that is why I believe this mission, this agency, this organization is so important. I pastored for 35 years from Manitoba to New Brunswick. And in all those years, I never heard once of the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. And I'll tell you why in just a little bit. There is a need in our country of Canada to spread the news that God is not finished with the Jews. And so that's part of our vision. And there are three biblical principles that as believers and as a ministry we hold to as they relate to the Jewish people. The first one is that Jewish people are God's chosen people. Period. Did you hear me? The Jews are God's chosen people. With a big period at the end of that sentence. He has never unchosen them, and as a result, they have a biblical, they have a historical, they have a legal, and a moral right to the land of Israel as promised by God in the pages of historical books. No. Now, there are historical books that talk about Israel and the promise of God, but it's about what is in the scriptures. Secondly, as evangelical Christians, I believe, as I spoke of this morning when I talked about how David looked upon the armies of Israel, or the armies of the Philistines, that he heard that he needed to defend the people of Israel, defend the honor of God. And anti-Semitism is on the rise. And we need to stand and oppose anti-Semitism in all its form. And the reason why we need to do that is because it's not a political thing. It's a spiritual thing. Anti-Semitism is at the heart of evil from the devil himself. And so we believe that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world, and we share that good news with all people who come into our sphere of influence. Those are the three biblical principles that we hold to when it comes to Jewish ministry. But we also are one of the only Jewish ministries that are dispensational in our theology and our understanding of God's plan for eschatology, which is the doctrine of last things, that which is yet to come. That God has moved in time and dealt in time in different periods of time, or dispensations is the word that we use, in different ways, and each dispensation ended up with God's judgment. And we are currently in the dispensation of what we would refer to as grace, but this dispensation will soon be ending. When I read the scripture and see what is going on in the world, I truly believe that the rapture, the calling up of the believers of Jesus Christ, could happen at any moment. But much of the church today would argue with me. Much of the church today would say that we will go through the tribulation and we will be caught up to be with the Lord and come back with the Lord in that twinkling of an eye at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. Well, if that were so, then we would have known when that tribulation period begun, and we'll know it's going to end 7 years later. How can the rapture, according to the scripture, be imminent? Because the Bible says Jesus is coming back soon, and his coming is imminent, which means can happen at any moment. So I was telling Brother Bruce that sometimes in the church services where I am traveling across Canada and preaching, I'll stop in the middle of my message, which is a little bit of shock to most people, and I'll just ask the congregation to stand with me and to do something for me, if they would, just for the next few minutes. And I'm not going to ask you to do it tonight, but I'm going to tell you what I've shared with those congregations. And I've had them stand. And, I'm not at the end of my message, so we're not at the conclusion. We're not at the benediction. They're not standing to get ready to leave. They're standing. And then I ask them to do something for me if they would. If they have the physical strength and they're able and they're capable, I ask them, on the count of three, would you jump up in the air as high as you can? So I say, 1, 2, 3, and everybody jumps up the can. And then I pause and I look at the congregation. And I said, next time you try jumping up in the air, you might not come back down. That's the reality of how close that we are. You know, today we're living in a day and age in which prophecy is under siege. Those things that we hold to, those things that we believe in concerning the Jewish people, concerning the Christian church, and concerning the world, is all clearly laid out in the scripture. But churches today are changing their doctrine. Churches today are moving into supersessionism and replacement theology, saying that we are the new Israel. How could we be the new Israel when we're not Jews? And there's all kinds of things I could go on. That's another 2 or 3 whole series of messages just on replacement theology. But one of the books that we offer at our bookstore in Toronto is Bible Prophecy Under Siege. And this book was written by Ron Rhodes, and it is a great book to get if you listen to Audible. I've been listening, I think I'm on the 5th time listening to this book on Audible on my phone. because it is reaffirming the fact that there is a pre-trib rapture and that the Jews will be brought back to God. Not all of them, we know that. But it deals with replacement theology. It deals with preterism, where partial preterism believes that that we have actually gone through, or so the world has already gone through everything that happens in Revelation already in AD 70. And they think it's all been done with. And it goes through a lot of doctrines. And I would encourage you to go to our website and order that book, or go just onto to Audible and download it and listen to it. It's one of the best books that I have heard, and I have the hard copy too, so I have also read parts of it. But because I'm traveling all the time, I can't read all the time, so I listen as much as I can. But Bible prophecy is under siege, and we have various books on our bookstore. There's a resource book on the table you can go to, and there's lots of information there that is biblical information that you can take and read and have resources to back up biblical understanding of God's plan for Israel and the church. But one of the greatest resources we have is Israel My Glory. Now, the next one coming to your door is the Olivet Discourse. That's a picture of the next issue that will be coming to your door, those of you that have it, have a subscription. The very original Israel My Glory is this one here. In December 1942, Friends of Israel began promoting and distributing this magazine called Israel My Glory so that churches would be reminded of what God says concerning the Jewish people and the church. And so if you're here tonight, and again I want to remind you, if you're not getting those magazines, we want to give away a whole year for free. There's a sign-up sheet on our table back there. By the way, before you go home, make sure you go by that literature table, because everything on that literature table is free, 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 free. So therefore, it's what?
Free.
Free. Amen. So sign up for that and get that coming to your home. 1 year subscription after that is only $31. 2 years is $50, and 3 years is $74. So it's around $4 a magazine. You can't go to the store and buy a magazine for that cost and get a magazine with this much content, biblical content. So we encourage you to do that. You can go on to our website, to FOI Canada, and you can look at resources, and we have what we refer to as FOI Equip, and you can become an equipper. You can sign up, register to become an equipper, and then you will get notifications of online sessions or courses, which happen sometimes just on one date. So here's one coming up on October 8th on Israel's view on Christian Zionism. There's one here being taught through September. So these are three Thursday evenings through September on Is the Church the New Israel? That's going to be a great one. These are all free. You don't have to pay to listen to these. These courses here are not interactive courses. They're like a webinar. So you go on and you will actually be taught as if you're sitting in a class. There's no communication back and forth with the teacher, but there is the information that is available, and they offer different courses. But we also offer a course that is more in-depth called Bridges. Bridges is a 9-week course. Matter of fact, everyone who wants to work with FOI has to do this course first. It is an in-depth course where they take you through the customs and mannerisms of Judaism, so that you can understand. If you have a desire to know more on how to witness to the Jewish people, you can actually learn a little bit more of their culture and what the scripture says about it. And it takes you all the way through knowing what the scripture says about the Jewish people to where you can begin to explain the gospel to a Jewish person without ever opening an New Testament. You can show them the gospel simply by going through the Old Testament. We often use what we call the Romans Road. when we are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. But there is what we refer to as, and it's not in just one book. So we can't call it the road of Psalms or the road of Proverbs or something like that. But we just refer to it as the Old Testament road to Jesus. And so this is a 9-week intensive course that people can take. And again, it's free. We want to make sure people are being educated about Judaism and about the need to witness to them and share the gospel with Jewish people. So this is a picture of everybody online. I don't know when that was taken. This is the key teacher there in the corner. These are the upcoming dates of the sessions for 2026 and 2027, the dates that you have to apply by. So you do need to register for the courses, but they do not cost anything. And it helps you discover how God can utilize you as an individual to build bridges with Jewish people. I've often heard when I'm sharing this part of the slide and have heard from people afterward, well, there's no Jews in our area. Let me tell you a story, a very quick story. When I started with FOI, the first church I got to go to was a little Baptist church in Beardmore, Ontario, way north of in Ontario, about 3.5 hours from Thunder Bay, northeast of Thunder Bay. Town of 178 people. They have a Baptist church and a Catholic church. They don't even have a grocery store, just a gas station. The church was so excited about me coming, he put up posters everywhere he could around the little town of Beardmore that there is a friend of Israel man coming to talk about the Jewish people. And I went up to Beardmore and I was sharing, and just as I began to preach, a man walked in the back door and sat down in the back pew. And he sat there for the whole message. And then after the message, he waited around while people were mingling. We were going to go downstairs for a time of fellowship with food. And then after the fellowship, I was going to share this presentation. He stayed around and he came up to me and he said, I would have never, ever, ever entered a church building, but I had to come today. And so I asked him, why did you come? Would you never enter a church building? He said, because I am a Jew. And I would never enter a church building, but when I saw that poster saying a friend of Israel, I had to come and hear what was going on because we don't have friends. And most of them feel that way. When it comes to the Gentile world, most of them feel that they do not have friends. So I'll tell you, if there can be a Jew show up in a little town of 178, you never know what's outside the door of this church. Why? Because 80% of the Jewish people are atheists today. They are secular Jews. They are people just like every other atheist go on or Gentile that's outside the doors of this church. They won't enter into a church building. They will look like a regular unsaved person. Why? They won't even wear any jewelry or any symbols of Israel because they're just not followers of Jehovah. So you could have a neighbor that's a Jew and never know it. So witness to everyone. That's my point. Everyone needs the gospel. And so when people take the Bridges course, some of us apply to become workers. Daryl took the Bridges course. He applied, and now he is our first missionary in Ontario to the Jewish people. But you can become part of what we call the Tikva team, which is a volunteer team, which means that sometimes if Daryl needs help with an event, a Jewish event, you could join Daryl as a volunteer and help him out with that event. There are various ways you can get involved with the Tikva team. And Tikva, as we learned this morning, is the word for what? Hope. Hope. This is the hope team. Small acts, huge hope. And so there are different ways to get involved. But there's different opportunities also to experience Jewish ministry. To experience Jewish ministry in what we call the encounter. Now, this is being done only in the U.S. with FOI U.S. because our office is in Philadelphia. And that what they do is, and Daryl just experienced this a little while ago. He went on the last encounter, I think. And you go down and you get immersed in the Jewish community in Philadelphia, New York, and a couple other places. You go experience different things. And so it's an experiential one-week sort of adventure, if I can use the word adventure, where you are exploring Jewish ministry. But then for our young people that sometimes would like to maybe serve the Lord for a summer as a missionary, we have our Origins program, and where they can raise funds to become a missionary, and that's the cost for the Origins trip this year. And they can go over and spend 2.5 weeks as a missionary, just like in the video that I showed a little earlier. They can spend 2.5 weeks at either the Jerusalem Hospital or Laquette, the National Food Bank, the farm where they have over 500 acres of vegetables and fruit trees, and they work in the farm all for those 2.5 weeks, helping them out. I was there in April of 2025 at Laquette, at boxing up vegetables for the Israeli elderly people who needed food for Passover. We were there just before Passover in 2025. And so it's a wonderful experience for our young people. And then, of course, those of that are older than 18, you can go as long as you've got the health to go. If you can get a doctor's note to go, you can go. And so we have opportunities to create a mission. These are what we call short-term mission trips, where you actually get to go overseas to Israel and serve the Jewish people. Now, is there opportunity to visit the Bible land? Yes, they do give you a couple of days within those 2.5 weeks to visit the Bible land, to go into the old city of David and to see a few different things. So it's not a Bible land tour, but it is a mission trip. And what drives all this? As I mentioned this morning, it is our passion for God's word, which creates a compassion for God's people. That's the motto of Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. And we want to make sure that we're constantly teaching the truth of the word of God concerning Jews and concerning God's plan for them. And so what we have done is we have created what we call the Proclaim conferences, Biblical Truth About Israel and the Messiah. And these are our upcoming conferences for this year. And I want to have you note about the Waterloo one, which is right near you. And there are posters and bulletins on the table for you to take to actually see what that conference is all about. And I encourage you to come and participate in listening to that conference. But we also take people to Israel. This is our next trip. And yes, we are going back. The war did not scare us away. We are going back. February 22nd to March 3rd, the cost is $5,199. That's up slightly from our $4,899 that we had last year. But it is lower than the majority of tours that are being offered. The reason why is because FOI is subsidizing this cost so we can get more people to go. There are brochures on the table concerning that if you're interested, or just get in touch with me. I'd love for you to go with me, because now that I am working with the Friends of Israel, I will now be the lead tour person, along with our director, Robert Gotslink, in leading all of these tours. So I will be on all of them. And so I want to encourage you to come and be part of that. We're in a digital age, so if there's someone here with a digital phone, you can actually scan this, and I believe the scan code is over on the table also, and you can download our brand new 5-month-old, we have our Friends of Israel Canadian app. We have our own app. And on that app, there's almost more information than there is our website, because all of the sessions that Daryl will preach, that I preach, and that others within FOI preach across Canada, they are uploaded to that app, and you can listen on the app to those messages and, of course, see all the other content. This is our director, Robert Gonslink. Every Wednesday, he produces a podcast in the news surrounding Israel. And by the way, I'd encourage you to go online and subscribe to this, because he doesn't just deal with what's happening in Israel and outside of Canada. He deals publicly in this podcast about the things that are happening right here in Canada. He lives in Regina. Regina has now been given approval to the mosque, the main mosque in Regina, to audibly play on loudspeakers across the whole city of Regina the call to prayer on Friday afternoon. Now, they're only doing it once. And the argument that they gave to the city council of Saskatchewan was, well, the church ring their bells, don't they? So why can't we audibly do a call to prayer? And they have manipulated the situation to where they are now able to do that call. Folks, that is just the beginning. You have to understand that Islam, when they desire to take over the world, they come in and they multiply within the country first, physically. Then, the longer they have people in the community, they try to get to the place where they have 20% of the community Muslim people. And once they have 20% Muslim people, they begin to work their way into the politics systems of the community and the government of the province and the government of the country. Once they get their foothold in there, they begin to ask for privileges. The head of the Brotherhood of the Muslim, forget the terminology for, just 2 months ago, went to Carney and asked for $40 million to be given by Canada's taxpayer money to the Islamic Brotherhood of Canada for the protection against Islamophobia. $40 million. Once they begin to get their foot in the door that way, they begin to then desire that the city have Sharia law. Sharia law means they can go to the businesses and they can demand the businesses to do away with anything that, quote, Allah, to the Quran and the Hadith, say you can't have. Well, some of the things should be gone. Smoking, cigarettes, gone. Drinking, alcohol, gone. Those things should be gone anyway. But they will demand stores that they cannot sell it. If you're a bacon lover, gone. Pork chops, gone. Ham hocks, gone. Sorry, it's gone. But we have to realize the day and age in which we're living. And he will speak about that on that podcast. And you can go to various other social media, Rumble, Telegram, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Just type in FOI Canada and you will find information about what's going on here in Canada and what's happening with Israel and the Jewish people. Our compassion is for God's chosen people. And we try to show that in a tangible way by having what we call our Stand with Israel nights. Now, the night that Daryl's going to do here in London, which is also called the Stand with Israel night, is going to be slightly different. But during our national conferences, as we do them across the country of Canada in the fall, we will hold a Stand with Israel night, usually at the JCC, which is the Jewish Community Center, if the city is large enough. And we normally do it in Calgary and in Winnipeg. Those are the two main locations that we do the Night with Israel. And we will bring in Israeli nonprofits that have a Canadian registration here in Canada, that have an actual organization. So here's Laquette. Laquette is the National Food Bank for Israel. And the Megan David Adam, that is the ambulance service of Israel. Operation Life Shield is the bomb shelter ministry for protecting Jewish people from the missiles. We bring them in and we will give them a check anywhere between $20,000 and $30,000 to each ministry that night to say, we stand as Bible believers, we stand in solidarity with you, and we want to help you. Now, we support those ministries. Oh, and the JNF is up there, the Jewish National Fund. We support those ministries in Israel. One of the things that we do differently is we're not sending money over to a church to distribute. We're not sending the money over to Christian organizations to distribute. All of the donations that are sent over to Israel are sent to Israeli nonprofit organizations so that they have the finances to take care of their own people. As I mentioned this morning, the reason why, because Israel is always putting their money into, and I mentioned that I think earlier, always putting their money into armaments. None of these organizations are supported by their own government. So we support the organization that directly helps their own people. And there are other Jewish organizations that support in other ways. But this is how Friends of Israel maintains supporting. Now, one of the things about FOI, and I'm going to quickly wrap this up because I want to take at least 10 minutes and talk about Canada. FOI Canada has been put into between a rock and a hard place because of our current Liberal government. Last year, they notified that any money that is sent overseas through FOI US, because that's what we would do, we would send funds to Israel, send funds to our other ministries overseas, we would send it down to our U.S. organization in Pennsylvania, and then they would send the finances over. And Canada says, no, you can't do that any longer. If you're going to send it, you're now going to have to send the money over to an organization somewhere in the area that you want to help. You can no longer, by the way, this is coming down the pipe even for churches, so it's going to affect the church. The laws are you cannot designate money to an individual. No longer directing money to an individual missionary. Canada, that's how they're changing laws. So now we have to send money to, technically it's not going to go through the U.S., but because we already have people on the ground in Israel. We have FOI as on the ground. Matter of fact, this is Menno, the pastor of the Jerusalem Assembly. We have to send the money to him as an organization in Israel, but the government of Canada now says we have to send it in a grant form, which means we can give them a certain amount of money, but then we have to tell them what they can't do with the money. And according to our Canada laws, you can't help the IDF. If you help the IDF, you lose your charitable status. Last year, JNF in Canada lost their status. And they're fighting in the Supreme Courts of Canada to get it back. Why? Because they support and help IDF soldiers. Now the challenge there is, every family in Israel, if you're an Israelite, has IDF people in the family. It's required by law that all the women are in the military for at least 2 years. The men, 3 years. And then they're on call or in the reserves until the age of 55. So when you're in Israel, when I was talking about that it's safer to be in Israel than anywhere else in the world, when you're in Israel and you go into a grocery store to buy some groceries, you will see mothers coming in with their children in a buggy and their rifle strapped to their back. Because by law, even though they're not on duty, they have to carry their rifle with them at all times. You know why? Because a terrorist could show up at any moment. There was about 4 months ago, you might have heard how three terrorists attacked a bus in Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv. Three terrorists pulled out handguns and decided to start shooting at an Israeli bus in Tel Aviv. And those terrorists were gunned down within 30 seconds before they could do any damage to the Jewish people. by people who were not on duty, who had the right to take out of a terrorist because they were about to take an Israeli life. So it is safe. But we have to do things differently now. So we have the Israel Relief Fund, we have the ministry. And I put this slide together because those that are supporters of Friends of Israel, who supported Menno, who supported different missionaries overseas, they're all, some of them are upset that, why can't we support the individual anymore? Well, talk to your government. Because the government says we can't do it any longer. So they can't designate to Menno. They can't designate to an individual. Now we as an organization, as a committee, can recommend that the funds go to certain people, but it's no longer in our control. And after we send money overseas and to Israel, our CRA government now requires that they report how they spent the money. They don't even ask how people in Canada spend money. Well, they're getting there. But now, every time we send money over, they got to report to our Canadian government. Why does our Canadian government want them to do that? So that they can see if there's any resources going to the IDF. So it's really a challenge for Canada. U.S. doesn't have a problem, at least for now. You know, I don't know what will happen if Trump's not in power or whatever that changes. But we have a problem here in Canada. And so the same with our international ministry. Canada is requiring that we do the same for any money that leaves Canada. For any money that leaves Canada. And the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry, and this is where I want to, because I want to get some to Q&A. I want to talk to you about FOI Canada, because we so often get behind the pulpit and we'll so often share about the Friends of Israel starting in 1938, and we forget to remind our Canadian churches that we exist. But we exist not just as an arm of FOI US, we exist as an organization that is a mission organization right here in Canada. This is downtown Toronto. Richmond Hill is, you can see in that block. This is where our office is, right beside the highest Jewish population in downtown or in Toronto. They used to be in Brampton, but if you know anything about Toronto, this area is full of Muslims now and Sikhs. So now our office is there. And they are in a secured building. You can't get in very easy. Why? Because they never know if our building will be attacked. Because we are Friends of Israel. There's come to a place where all of us who are workers of the Friends of Israel, when we get mail sent to us from our office, we're going to be, it's being recommended that we actually have a post office box. That mail doesn't come to our home. Because you never know if there's a Muslim in the post office that sees your address. And you never know what will happen. And so this is where our office is. This is a picture of our office, and I won't take time to show you that, but that's Robert Gosling, who goes to the office once a month from Regina and helps coordinate things there. This is our office staff. Corrine is our office manager and some of the staff that we have there. And this is our ministry team. Our ministry team is very small. And this is, remember I mentioned that I worked as a pastor for 35 years and never heard anything about FOI? This is why. There was never a missionary like David to go around and knock on doors to say, hey, listen, I'm with an organization called the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. Have you heard of us? Can I present that mission agency mission to you? There's nobody in Ontario. Nobody came by my door when I was a pastor. And so you can see that we have provinces where we have no representation. Saskatchewan, Nova Scotia, Quebec, PI, Newfoundland. We have nobody in those provinces. And so that's why part of my job is as I preach in these provinces and as I preach in churches, I say, hey, folks, you thinking about the mission field? You don't have to go overseas. You can become a missionary right here in our own country. And so we are getting some response to that. And you can see here on this screen, that's an updated one I just did. That is all of the current statistics concerning Jews around Canada. So it's dropping. Remember I mentioned we had 1.5 million? It's down to 410. One of the things that we do as a mission agency is when missionaries come on board, like most mission agencies, missionaries are required to raise 80% of their salary before they can actually go to work. So they got to be knocking on church doors and presenting the mission field that they're desiring to go do. Well, about 9 years ago, the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry received an endowment of $1.2 million from an estate with a specific request that it would be used to put missionaries in the field in Canada sooner than later. So what we did as an organization is we came up with a plan. We said, okay, we had a few missionaries at that point. There was about 3 to 4 missionaries that Canada had at that point, and they weren't all fully supported yet. So we said, what we're going to do is we're going to support those missionaries 100% right off the bat. We're going to give them travel allowance, ministry allowance. We're going to give them benefits. We're going to do everything that a ministry should do for their missionaries. We're going to tell them that they can go out and do ministry right away. They don't have to wait. So when new missionaries came on, and some of the people in that picture have been new missionaries in the last 3 to 4 years, when new missionaries came on, they got a full salary. And then they were told, don't even raise support for 1 year. Oh, wouldn't you love to be a missionary and be told, don't worry about raising support for a year? And then after 1 year, try to raise 25%. After 2 years, try to raise another 20. And so by your fifth year, you try to raise what your support. And so that money comes back into what we call the Mission Launch Fund. Now, I'm not a missionary. I am a paid employee. Why? Because I go around churches, and as I speak with donors, those that can help, I raise money for this. Why? Because when Daryl came on board just a few months ago, along with David Townsend, who is our new missionary for New Brunswick, we could not bring them on full time because this fund doesn't have enough money left in it. It's taking care of everyone that is already a missionary, but it doesn't have enough to bring him on board. So my goal by the end of 2027 is to raise $500,000 so that he can be full-time and David can be full-time. And the three from PEI that are considering being missionaries, two of them being Jews. We have 2 more people here in Ontario that are being considered being missionaries. One I'm going to see in just a few days down in Windsor. Those people can come on board right away. They still have to raise their support, but they can at least go into ministry sooner than later. And you know the great thing about that is, it's because we need to do it sooner and later because Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back soon. So I raise money for that, even though the workers have to raise money. And what I've done as the ministry advancement person is I have researched in Canada, how can we help the ministry and see funds come into the ministry maybe in a greater volume. And so I have connected Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry with a ministry here in Canada called Link Charity. Link Charity is a Christian company or organization. They are a finance company. They deal in wills, estates, and gift annuities, and all those types of things that we begin to think about as we get older. And so we are now going to be promoting this. I have just written a 100-day appeal, which will go out in the mail to all 3,000 of our donors across Canada to let them know that we have this availability now, and there's information on the table there also about Link Charity. Because 80% of our donors currently, out of 3,000 donors in Canada, are over the age of 70. Now, we're not sending this out because they're over the age of 70, but we're recognizing the fact that the longevity of Friends of Israel, as we get older, and if Jesus doesn't come back, soon will be in the grave waiting for him to come back. And young people aren't picking up the task financially to help. I mean, churches are struggling that way. Mission agencies are struggling that way. And these men who are working in Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry, working in the Jewish community, are struggling even to raise their support. Because churches, when you go in and share, if you were going overseas, I bet you get 100 churches giving you money. But because you're a missionary in where? In your own country? How can you be a missionary in your own country? And they forget the gospel that tells us to go across the street and spread the good news of salvation to everyone. But that's they struggle to raise. That's why right now, out of all of our missionaries, we have missionaries that have been on the field more than 5 years, and the only one missionary is at 80%. And he's been on the field almost 6 years. So there are a lot of needs in Canada, and this is just one way that we're hoping to help out. I want to finish off. This is the same song. I thought I had changed it up to Pray for the Peace of Jerusalem. But let me play this song that I played this morning as a closure, and then we'll have some Q&A. And notice the scriptures on the bottom of this song, because this is right from the Bible.
O daughters of Zion, O Abraham's sons, hear the words of your father, hear his promise of love. I will make you a blessing, so count the stars if you can. You will be a great nation. I will give you this land. I will bring you back home. I'll bring you back home, oh my children. You will no longer roam, lost and alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that could take you.
Though your sins were like scars.
there's a lot more I could tell you about the Friends of Israel. It's just impossible to try to do within 45 to 50 minutes in a PowerPoint presentation. I could show you pictures and videos of the truth of what's happening in Israel. I could show you how Friends of Israel is putting in, since October 7th, we have put in over 104 bomb shelters in throughout Israel, near schools and bus stops, so that the children would be protected when the rockets are fired at them. I'll tell you one quick story, and then we'll go to a Q&A. When I was in Israel last year, I was on what we call a solidarity trip, so it wasn't a Bible Land tour. We were actually taking donors to the Israeli nonprofits that we support so that they can see what their finances were actually doing to help the Jewish people. And we dropped by in Tel Aviv on one of the main streets where there was a park and a bus stop, and there was a bomb shelter there. And we stopped by, 16 of us got off this little bus, some from Canada, some from the U.S., and we got off, and we were looking at one of these bomb shelters that FOI had paid for and put there by this park in Tel Aviv and by a bus bench where children would sit to wait for the city bus to come by and pick them up. And there was a mother with 8 children sitting on, I don't think they were all hers, but she had 8 children sitting on the bench, and she saw all these people standing around this bomb shelter, and I was standing at the back taking pictures of everyone looking at the bomb shelter, and she came up to me because I was at the back of the crowd, and she says, "Why are all you here?" And so I shared with her very quickly who we are. We are the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry, and this bomb shelter was paid for by donors in Canada and the U.S., and we have placed them here along with over 100 others throughout Israel so that children would be protected if the missiles came. And she just broke down in tears. And she said, "The missiles are coming so often now that if we didn't have things like this by a park and a bus shop and a bus stop shelter, I couldn't trust to send my kids alone to the park." So there's a lot of things that we're doing that I wish I could just go tell you story after story of the impact that the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry is making in the lives of others. But let's take, you want to just do the Q&A now, if anybody has any quick questions that I can try to answer, whether it's about current issues with Israel. I will try to answer the questions as best I can. There are staff of FOI that meet together on Monday night on a Zoom call with an IDF soldier. If we get caught, we might be in trouble. But we meet with an IDF soldier over Zoom. We've been doing it for 2 years now. One of our workers in Detroit befriended an IDF soldier that also lives in Detroit. He's retired. He has still a lot of friends that are currently commanders in the IDF force. And so he's getting information all the time. He actually oversees the JNF for Windsor, Ontario area, if I remember right, as across Jewish person that's coming across the border of Detroit. And we meet with him every Monday night, and he shares with us details you'll never hear in the world news. And some of those details we can't share with others because some of the things we're told ahead of time that this is what's going on in Israel. Do you know, since the war started 61 days ago with Iran, Israel has developed 3 new weaponries in order to defend themselves. A laser beam called David's Sling that can take out missiles in the air. But then they started sending these drones in. And drones can... And they can't track the drone long enough to take it out with the laser beam. So now they've created a new defense mechanism in the last month where now they have a wider spectrum of a machine that will throw out an EMT pulse, an electronic bomb type of mechanism, so that anything in the air that it has electric components will just go completely dead and the drones fall to the ground. Those are things that have just been developed in the last couple of years or last couple of months. Any other questions? I know one of the gentlemen that was here had questions, but he didn't leave me the list.
Oh, I don't have a list.
So
if you want to ask a question, we
or just stand and speak out. I know he's wanting to record as much as possible for his own church people. Any questions concerning Jewish ministry, FOI, Israel, what's going on now? Anyone have, or maybe I've answered all the questions already.
Do you have any background or history for the flag and the Star of David? What does that symbol really mean, stand for?
Yeah, there are those that will claim that that star is actually a satanic symbol. There are those even in Christianity that will believe that. From my understanding, and I will have to go back and double check it, but just to give you a basis of understanding, the three triangles, one triangle represents God, and the other triangle represents man. So it's man's trust in God as they are linked together. Or the Jewish, when I talk about man, it's the Jewish people's trust in Jehovah. Good. Yeah, I went down a few rabbit trails already and gave you some extra. So, and if you ever have any questions, please pick up my card. I don't have a prayer card. I have a brochure on the table that is there. So please pick up that up, those things up. Sign up for Israel My Glory if you're not getting it, and we'll get it coming to your home right away. And take anything off that table because it's free, 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 free. All right. I didn't come up with that. Steve Herzik. Steve Herzik, who just retired from the Friends of Israel. He just retired a couple of months ago from the Friends of Israel. He had worked for the Friends of Israel for over 40 years, and he was a born-again Jew. And so he just retired. So he's the one that came up with that. It's free, 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 free. And it sounds like him. So take some time, visit around the table, take any materials from there, and what's left over, Pastor, before we box it up, keep whatever you want to keep for the church, and whatever's left over, Daryl will take for his supplies, because it won't fit in my luggage to go back home to Thunder Bay. All right, God bless, folks. Thank you for coming.